You know, sometimes truth can be as strange as fiction. James Ellroy writes novels about strange crimes and strange criminals and pathos. Turns out he's writing what he knows well. He's self-described as a drug addict, an alcoholic, a retired
sober,
retired burglar, panty raider, peeping Tom, fanaticist. Anything
novelist.
Else?
Novelist.
Novelist. We'll put that in there.
Alfred E. Knopf, author.
It's a dubious experiment, failing at everything but itself. But failure itself. His memoir is called
Hilliker Curse.
The Hilliker Curse: My Pursuit of Women. It is published by Knopf, and I'm pleased to bring Mr. Ellroy to the Leonard Lopate Show today. We're glad you're here. This is your second memoir, My Dark Places.
It is my second memoir. My Dark Places is my first memoir, published by Alfred E. Knopf in 1996. It's the story of my mother's 1958 murder and its ramifications. This book is a companion volume.
Okay. So you had more to say. Did you know when you wrote My Dark Places that there'd be a sequel?
No, because I had not confronted the phenomenon of women in my life yet. And women, not crime, is the dominant journey in my life.
Well, tell us a little bit about that. You were, I guess voracious would be one word, right?
There is an old joke indigenous to the American 1950s. I want to find the guy who invented sex and ask him what he's working on now. I have never gotten over sex and the holy conjunction of men and women. It has been the force behind my creative urge for four decades. It has been the deus ex machina of my life for five decades since my mother's death. I wanted to explore the phenomenon. I am extremely self-absorbed, but I understand the memoir form and understand further that to indulge solecism is wrong, and that for a memoir to succeed, it must have universal meaning.
And there you have it. So, hey, by the way, are you still on the prowl?
No!
You're not.
At the end of the Hilliker Curse, I meet the woman of my dreams, a journalist writer named Erica Schickel, and we're having a gas.
But you're still looking at the menu, right?
No, I'm not looking at the menu.
The
menu is Erica Schickel.
Okay, period. One thing on the menu.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, there's one item.
Well, just to give people an idea, when you were young, I think at the age of 9, you bought these X-ray vision goggles thinking you'd be able to see through clothing, right?
My dad got me a pair of X-ray eyeglasses, tinted cellophane, that I'd seen advertised in a comic book. He found it hilarious, of course, and I was shocked and appalled that I couldn't see naked women through tinted cellophane.
Didn't
I was
work
nine.
Out. Yeah. Now, and then you were sending flowers to girls at the age of 14. You were cruising parks. You were actually quite a successful peeping James, I guess.
I was a peeping James. I didn't cruise parks for girls, but I broke into houses and sniffed women's undergarments, and I stopped it.
But that's, you know, a lot of people would say that might be beyond.
It was
something.
The American 1960s.
Oh, so everybody was breaking in and smelling underwear in the 60s?
It was life in extremis, and I quit drinking and using drugs and cleaned up my life and started having girlfriends.
And so you cleaned yourself up. Did you ever get caught, by the way, in any of the...
I was arrested in a deserted house, but I wasn't burglarizing it or on a panty run. I was just sleeping there.
Okay. Well, all right, so connect this behavior with the terrible tragedy of your life, the loss of your mother in a horrific
Here
crime.
Here is, definitively, the Hilliker Curse itself. On the occasion of my 10th birthday in March of 1958, my mother, Jean Hilliker, a 43-year-old alcoholic registered nurse divorced from my father for 2.5 years, said, "Sonny, you're a young man now. It's your choice. Live with your dad or live with me." I said, "My dad!" My mother hit me. I fell off the couch, banged my head on a glass coffee table, cut myself. I called her a drunk and a whore. She hit me again. She pulled back from it. I had recently read a book about British warlocks and wizards, magic potions, curses. I summoned her dead. Coincidentally, 3 months later, she was murdered. The crime remains unsolved. Thus, the Hilliker Curse, my new memoir, And how, Predator's Confession.
How old were you at that time?
10.
10 years old. So at that time, 10 years old, after you'd summoned this curse on your mother.
Yes.
And horrifically, she is murdered.
Yes.
What went through your mind?
Relief. 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 I hated for her. I lusted for her. At the time of her death, my most devout wish was to live with my more permissive father. And the wish came true at a horrible price. It's a burden of guilt. It's a summons to predation. I was a sex-absorbed little kid before the death that I believe that I had mandated. And it went awry from there in an odd and oddly tender way. I cleaned up my life. I started writing books. I had a series of tumultuous relationships with women. And what man hasn't? Two failed marriages. And I have scrabbled at the truth of men and women for many, many years. And two marriages, two divorces, tremendously amicable divorce with my second ex-wife, who remains a very close friend. It's a good journey, and it is a happy, redemptive book.
Do you, as you look back on it, though, are you amazed you lived through it?
I am amazed I lived through it. But as I say in the book, God has always had a mission for me. I'm the guy who survives to tell you the story.
Tell me about Marcia Sidwell. That's an interesting character in this book.
Marcia Sidwell was a registered nurse a year younger than me in 1973. We did not have any kind of romantic relationship. I mention her many times in the course of this book. She was unaccountably kind to me when no other woman was. I ran into her at a coin laundromat near the park I slept in. We had a series of conversations. I showed up for the next conversation. At the same time, she washed her clothes every week. She wasn't there, and I never saw her again. I made sporadic attempts at finding her. I failed, and there she is. And she's a feminine spirit.
So, and she looms so large because you never scored with her?
It's not that I scored with her. And I find vulgarisms like chicks, score, and all that language pertaining to it vulgar and anti-feminist. No, we were never intimate in any way, shape, manner, or form. But she was kind to me, and I was grateful.
And so she looms.
She loomed up through the writing of this book. This book ends with the intersection of the woman I've just described to you, Erica Schickel. Erica and I had circled each other for several years and finally converged. So oddly, inexplicably, very much a non sequitur, this novel of romantic obsession, excuse me, it's not a novel, it's a memoir, has a happy ending.
It's interesting that you had the slip there about novel versus memoir.
I've written so damn many novels and so few memoirs.
But it's quite, you know, truth can be stranger than fiction. Did you find yourself thinking that as you're writing this out?
Yes, but I understand the memoir form very, very well. This is also an autobiographical essay in that I am allowed to emphasize, omit, describe my actions as a younger man and attribute meaning as a mature man. And that's a very, very good form to work in. It's immediate and retrospective.
You have a little piece, I believe, there that we selected, which has language for a family audience, right?
Oh, yes. Would you like me to read it?
I would like that.
So women will love me. I invoked the curse a half century ago. It defines my life from my 10th birthday on. The near immediate results have kept me in near continuous dialogue and redress. I write stories to console her as a phantom. She is ubiquitous and never familiar. Other women loom flesh and blood. They have their stories. Their touch has saved me in varying increments and allowed me to survive my insane appetite and ambition. They have withstood my recklessness and predation. I have resisted their rebukes. My storytelling gifts are imperviously strong and rooted in the moment that I wished her dead and mandated her murder. Women, give me the world and hold the world tenuously safe for me. I cannot go to them to find her much longer. My obsessive will is too stretched. Their story must eclipse hers in volume and content. I must honor them and distinguish each one from her. My pursuit has been both raw and discerning. The latter comforts me now. There were always grace notes in with the hunger. It has been a fever dream. I must decorously decode it. They are all gone now. I am unbodied without them. If I address them with candor, they'll cut me loose of the fury. My grasp may recede to a touch in retrospect. I'll find the answer in dreams and waking flashes. They'll find me alone and talk to me in the dark.
James Elroy, part of his memoir, The Hilliker Curse, My Pursuit of Women. That's actually one of the first things you'll read in that book, right? That's the prologue?
That is the first page of the book.
Was this therapy for you?
No. It was the chance to tell my story, honor the women I've been with, honor my mother in narrative form one more time, and to interdict the practice of the pursuit. And then out of the blue, as the grassroots sang in 1971, sooner or later, love is gonna get you. Sooner or later, love is gonna win. It's just a matter of time. You gotta make up your mind to find all that love that you've been hiding. Yeah.
Don't quit the day job.
No,
Stick with the words.
Yeah.
Good. So you're still in L.A.
I live
in
L.A.
Of course.
Yeah, that's where I go when women divorce me.
You did spend a little stint in New York.
Yeah.
What happened in New York for you?
You're talking about 08 or 81?
I think I'm back in the 80s now, when you're in the basement in Westchester.
Yeah.
And, you know, you were a caddy and you were trying to get started.
I was a caddy at Waikiki Country Club. Right. My first two books had been published in paperback. I got the urge to get the hell out of L.A. I moved to Eastchester, New York. Lived in a basement pad, caddied at Waikiki Country Club in New Rochelle. Prowled around the Big Apple.
Took the train in to New York and lived the 80s New York scene for a little while.
It's a gas, yeah.
Was it less stimulating for you as a writer? Obviously, you draw upon L.A. L.A. is your thing, right?
It's where I go when women divorce me and I don't know where else to go. No, Erica and I, once her daughters are in college, we're going to get the hell out of L.A. and move up the Hudson River Valley.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's beautiful, because it's cold, because it's peaceful, it's quiet. Mountain lions roam the hills. You need to carry a shotgun. And I want to get a pit bull.
Well, you can't get a pit bull in L.A.?
Yeah, but I want to let the pit bull roam free and hunt on his own.
But you are of L.A. I mean, would you lose your writing mojo if you're up in the Hudson River Valley?
No, my mojo is portable.
It is.
Yeah, take it anywhere.
Take it with you. So what are you working on now?
New novel, set in L.A. the month of Pearl Harbor, book for the whole family. If the name of your family is the Manson family.
Can you tell us a little more?
It's Pearl Harbor. It's the ramifications of the Japanese bombing of Pearl Harbor. It's the story of the early stages of the Japanese internment. And it takes characters from the L.A. Quartet, the Black Dahlia, the Big Nowhere, L.A. Confidential, White Jazz, the Underworld USA Trilogy, American Tabloid, the Cold Success, and Blood's a Rover, and puts them in Pearl Harbor as younger folks.
Oh, so you're drawing on all characters from all those stories.
I am going to make my last seven novels with an additional four a coherent whole.
Excellent. We look forward to it.
So do I.
Thank you so much for being with us. I've been speaking with James Elroy. His memoir is The Hilliker Curse, My Pursuit of Women. It is published by Knopf. And James Elroy will be reading and signing books tonight.
Book Court.
Book Court, 7 p.m. That's 163 Court Street in Brooklyn. For more information, you can read our show page at WNYC.org. Thanks again.
Thank you.